The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, our long national nightmare is different.
Okay.
Because after weeks of tearing families apart at the border and then falsely insisting that only Congress could solve the problem, this afternoon, the president looked deep into his heart and realized it was not there. Jim?
We're signing an executive order. I consider it to be a very important executive order. It's about keeping families together. I didn't like the sight or the feeling of families being separated.
And at the end of the day, we all know everything is really about me and how it makes me feel.
Yep.
So much. Sad, brokenhearted, me, so sad. Yes, however you slice it, Donald Trump has changed his mind and decided to keep families together. And just in time, too, Melania was about to turn herself in at the border. Please. But how? How could he end this? His hands were tied, he said. How could he end this? It was the Democrats. It was their laws, he said. There was one thing we knew he couldn't do.
Wait.
You can't do it through an executive order.
There it is. Can't be done. So here he is, doing it.
Yep.
Okay. You're going to have a lot of happy people.
Oh. Happy people? Wait, are you signing your resignation?
Now that would give us some happy people. Oh, boy. All right. Well, welcome to a Thursday. We're here, barely. Last Thursday, I was out sick all week. And as I told you at the beginning of the week, sort of a conflagration of some kind of a virus that got me to the point where I couldn't get out of bed or eat anything. But I think it was compounded with depression and the news and the way of the world. I retweeted something a few minutes ago. Let me see if I can pull it up because I guess there's misery in misery and company. It was, oh man, now I'm not going to be able to find it. Well, let me see if I can do it this way. Okay. Ian Milhauser of Think Progress tweeted, "This week has felt more like America is slowly descending into a moral void from which it will never emerge than any other since the beginning of the Trump administration." And I retweeted it with the message, "I sadly concur." It's one of those days where it's coming at us from all sides. And yes, Trump signed the executive order. Things are going to be better. Not so fast. Wait till you get into the details. By the way, because I don't have this in today's What's News, Melania, or as my husband calls her, Malaria Trump, went off to Texas to visit one of the internment camps. Although, of course, it wasn't one of the, what do they call them, tender souls camps? You just can't make this shit up. But there's a picture of her getting on the plane, and she's wearing a jacket. Now, today is the summer solstice. Welcome to it. It's the first day of summer. Welcome to the longest day of the year, But that means the days will start getting shorter again, I guess. So Melania Trump gets on the plane wearing a jacket. Now, I don't know what it is in Washington, D.C. I promise you, down in Texas at the border where she went, she didn't need a jacket. But she was wearing a fashion statement. And if you're on YouTube, I'm putting it up on YouTube. Along the back of the jacket, it says in big, bold lettering, "I really don't care. Do you?" She's going to see babies who have been wrested from their mother's arms. Children taken from their parents, they may never see them again. And she has the gall to wear a jacket that says, "I really don't care, do you?" And her spokeswoman, Stephanie Grisham, when asked what message the jacket intends to send, said, "It's a jacket. There was no hidden message. After today's important visit to Texas, I hope this isn't what the media is going to choose to focus on." She was on her way to visit children at the border. Of course we're going to talk about it. It makes a statement. And what the fuck kind of statement is that? "I really don't care, do you?" This just shows the brain deafness with which this entire administration operates. They lie. They lie about everything. I mean, I've got clip after clip of Trump, and I won't assail your ears. But some of the shit that he says is just unbelievable. At his cabinet meeting today, here's a quickie. All right,
it's a whole big con job. In the meantime, people are suffering because of the Democrats. So we've created, and they've created, and they've let it happen, a massive child smuggling industry. It's exactly what it's become. Traffickers, if you think about this, human traffickers are making a fortune. It's a disgrace.
So he's accusing the Democrats, I guess, in Congress, of being human traffickers. Decency knows no depths. This man does not have a decent bone in his body. He is a liar, a cheater, a shill, a con man. He is the worst kind of creature that roams the earth. And enough of this country fell for his bullshit to put him in the Oval Office. We got taken in, and now we're suffering the consequences. And I'm afraid to think how far these consequences go. All right. The phone lines are open, by the way. 954-889-6410. If you're on Skype, you can always Skype into Nicole Sandler. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Karen from California.
Hey, Karen. What's on your mind?
Hey. Glad you're feeling better, by the way.
Thank you.
Listening to you, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who says this, is good therapy. And I think it's so vital that we have that these days. And, you know, it's funny. So thank you for being here. That's what I wanted to say.
Oh, God, thank you.
You know, I know that people say we're supposed to leave the president's, you know, spouse and their children alone. But with this bunch, that's impossible. Melania Trump is a vapid enabler. She's every bit the soulless grifter, that parasite she's married to.
Yep.
And I say marriage in quotes because it's not a real marriage. It's bullshit. She married him for money, and that's it. She had a child to kind of make sure she'd be protected and I feel so sorry for Barron. I do. My heart goes out to that kid. He doesn't deserve this. They're vile, except for Tiffany. She's the only other one who I think maybe has the good sense to stay out of it because, you know, a little bit, not totally. Because, mind you, Trump went on Howard Stern boasting that he wanted her aborted. Pro-life,
right.
Please.
Right.
He is a sociopath. He really is. He is beyond evil. And I know we have to be careful with these comparisons, but I think comparing him to Hitler, It's not totally off base.
It's not. Look who he aspires to be around. Kim Jong-un, Duterte, Erdogan. I mean, the strongmen, Putin, the worst of the worst dictators on the planet, while he disses our allies for generations.
Absolutely. Look, George W. Bush was a terrible president, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to minimize that. But at least on some level, he had a decency to him. Again, I'm not excusing right. the wreckage that his tenure left.
But he
didn't sell us out to a foreign adversary. Okay? There's a big difference. And his wife and his daughters, I'll tell you what, whatever his failings, you know, his wife, I think, conducted herself in that role with decency and class, didn't yeah. always agree with her. And there's no doubt when you look at their two daughters, they did a good job raising them. Both Trump and that vapid trophy wife he's married to are failures on every level, and especially with his three oldest disgusting children. And I just, all I can say, and I know everybody's so angry and in shock, just donate to the ACLU, donate to, I believe it's called the Immigration Rights Center, stay engaged. I know it's the first day of summer and people want to take a break and their kids are out, but this is not the time for that, folks. We've just all got to stay engaged. I know it's hard, but I also think, though, that there's no doubt Trump's on the defensive big time with this. So that's something to encourage people. At any rate, I'm done. I'm off my soapbox.
Well, Karen,
thank you for all you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you for the call. And thank you for the words of encouragement, because as you can tell, I'm having a hard time these days. I'm having a hard time holding my shit together just through the normal course of dealing with the news. The stuff that comes out of the TV and the radio. I can't believe this is my country. And I've never been one to say my country right or wrong. I've known this country has done things that are less than honorable, but never in my lifetime have I seen the kind of atrocities we're perpetrating on people. It's shameful. It's really sickening. And, you know, on top of it, I've got personal shit. My daughter totaled my car on Monday. So it's just one thing after another. And it would be so easy just to crawl back in bed and pull the covers over my head. But I can't do that. We have too much work to do. There's too much going on. There's too much at stake. And I know we always talk about that this is, every election is the most important election in our lifetime. This next one really is. If the Democrats can't take back control of at least the House, we're sunk. Yes, a lot of damage can be done between now and January of 2019. If he's allowed to have full run of the government, meaning control of both houses of Congress, for another 2 years, we will not recognize this place. A while ago, I was talking to you about a listener who I hadn't heard from in a while, but a listener in the Netherlands, who for a while was very, very supportive financially of this program. He donated a lot of money to keep us going for a few years, and he still supports us when he can. And I guess he heard me talking about him and how, you know, he said it was so important to have my voice out there. Well, my voice is just one small voice out of many, but all our voices are important, and we got to keep going. There are days I don't know that I can, honestly. But all right, I'm going to stop this. Let's get into Howie Klein's back today. Of course, I wasn't here last week, but Howie will be with us today. So there's a lot going on in the news, so let's get right to it. We'll do, if I can make it through, a live version of What's News.
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Okay.
The House took some action on two immigration bills they were to vote on today. First, the bill drafted by conservative hardliners that would have provided Trump funding for his border wall and only temporary relief for Dreamers, thankfully, went down by a vote of 193 to 231. That came after leadership postponed a second vote on a so-called compromise measure until Friday, after members asked for more time to consider the proposal. By the way, that bill is a compromise between what they call Republican moderates and conservatives. It would have imposed limits on legal immigration, provided a pathway to citizenship to young undocumented immigrants, and $25 billion for Trump's stupid fucking wall. The measure also would have kept migrant families together at the border, placing them in detention. Unbelievable. You might recall that tensions boiled over last night when Freedom Caucus Chairman Mark Meadows and Speaker Paul Ryan had a heated exchange on the floor over those bills. To be continued. All right, well, it's one step up and two giant step back in the Orwellian reality playing out on the U.S. southern border these days. After what seemed like eons of news stories about young children being taken from the loving arms of their parents and sent to internment camps, the president was finally shamed into taking action that he could have taken all along, but he claimed he couldn't.
Thank you very much. We're signing an executive order. I consider it to be a very important executive order. It's about keeping families together while at the same time being sure that we have a very powerful, very strong border, and border security will be equal, if not greater, than previously. So we're going to have strong, very strong borders, but we're going to keep the families together. I didn't like the sight or the feeling of families being separated.
Shut up.
There's a problem that's gone on for many years, as you know, through many administrations, and we're working very hard on immigration. It's been just left out in the cold. People haven't dealt with it, and we are dealing with it. So step by step, just like we dealt with North Korea, we dealt with Iran, we dealt with an economy that was heading in the wrong direction, we dealt with a lot of different problems. This is one that has been gone on for many decades. So we're keeping families together, and this will solve
that problem. No, you're not. You're
problem.
A liar.
At the same time, we are keeping a very powerful border.
Okay, shut up. I've had enough. Sorry, I can't take it. Aside from the fact that his statement was riddled with lies on a multitude of subjects, this executive order will not only not keep families together, it will do nothing to reunite the thousands of children in government custody who've already been taken away from their parents. Sometimes it takes someone with a keen sense of the absurd to point out the true absurdity. So, Samantha Bee, take it away.
If, like most people, you've been feeling a little uncomfortable with our new pre-K prisons, good news, the president fixed it with the next worst thing.
President Trump signing this executive order to end his policy of family separations.
They will still be criminally charging the adults who cross this border illegally, but the hope is now to keep them all together in the various shelters.
This has been going on for 60 years. 60 years. Nobody's taken care of it.
Actually, buddy, it's been a month, but I agree that it feels like 60 years. Yay! No more baby internment camps, just regular internment camps. Cool, that's what we call a win in 2018. To be clear, I am happy that at least these kids are theoretically going to stay with their parents, but mommy and me jails are not a solution. They're not new, and they're also not legal. We really need to be more specific with our hashtags. Hashtag keep families together, but not in jail, you monster. What is wrong with you? We have tried the family detention thing before, and it was very not good. We should not accept it as a reasonable compromise. We got to keep fighting. Trump's executive order challenges the Flores Consent Decree, a 1997 agreement that states the government has to keep children in the least restrictive conditions
yep.
possible. So no skinny jeans, no toddler shapewear, and no jails. The Flores settlement prohibits the government from keeping migrant children in detention for more than 20 days. Trump is challenging Flores so we can go back to the bad old days of 2014 when parents and children could be kept together indefinitely in prison. Well, not indefinitely. At a certain point during indefinitely, they'll cease to be children. It's called the behind bars mitzvah. And if you're hoping that any of the senators who tweeted since this weekend that they oppose family separation will come come up with anything better, don't hold your breath. The leading bills in the Senate and the House also consider indefinite family detention to be a solution. And some Democrats have gone on record saying they're willing to vote for it. Baby jails are the worst possible thing, but mommy and me jails are a close second. Any solution to this problem has to start from the premise that children should not go to jail. I know. I'm such a radical leftist.
Such a radical leftist. Children should not go to jail. Despite Laura Ingraham's assertion that kids' prisons are more akin to summer camp.
So since more illegal immigrants are rushing the border, more kids are being separated from their parents and temporarily housed in what are essentially summer camps, or as the San Diego Union-Tribune described them today, as looking like basically boarding schools.
Oh, shut up. We're learning that these are some sick, twisted camps. Reports are surfacing. All right, get ready for this, and hopefully I can hold it together. That immigrant children are being forcibly injected with drugs. According to federal court filings, children held at Shiloh Treatment Center, a government contractor that houses immigrant children south of Houston, described being held down and injected and told they would not be released or allowed to see their parents unless they took medication. Many kids who are being separated from their parents at the border are having their toys confiscated, too, while the Associated Press is reporting that immigrant children as young as 14 were beaten, handcuffed, and left in solitary for long periods at juvenile detention center in Virginia. I just don't know where we go from here. It's ironic that yesterday was World Refugee Day. Former President Obama used the occasion to call the cruelty of splitting immigrant families un-American. Yet Trump, at a campaign rally in Duluth, Minnesota, barely mentioned the immigrant uproar. Instead, he chose this narcissistic non sequitur.
You ever notice they always call the other side, and they do this up there, the elite. The elite. Why are they elite? I have a much better apartment than they do.
Unbelievable.
I'm smarter than they are. I'm richer than they are. I became president and they didn't.
Oh, fuck you. All right. This is where his mind goes. There is something seriously wrong with this man. And then when he does talk about policy, such as it is, he lies about it.
So the Democrats want open borders.
No, they don't.
Let everybody come in.
No, they don't.
Let everybody pour in.
Not
true. We don't care. Let them come in from the Middle East. Let them come in from all over the place. We don't care. We're not going to let it happen.
You lie.
And by the way, today I signed an executive order. We're going to keep families together, but the border is going to be just as tough as it's been.
Oh, he just lies with such impunity. It comes as second nature to him. If you're wondering why Trump thought taking children from their parents was acceptable, this is an interesting one. The Associated Press's Jonathan Lemire says Trump thought it was a winning strategy. Listen to this.
We had days of the president saying this couldn't be done this way, that he would say incorrectly that it couldn't be done by executive order, that it had to be Congress. And it really seemed like the White House was trying to pressure Capitol Hill so they would come up with some sort of solution so the president would not seem as having to reverse himself on this. And then eventually he did cave to public pressure. And as much as the White House is trying to spin this is sort of a benevolent act that Trump is ending what Obama started, and it's just, of course, incorrect. You know, this is something they changed. I think it's very striking last night at that rally in Minnesota how he makes barely a mention of this executive order to reverses the policy and instead spends so much of that rally really hammering home his very tough hardline immigration stances as if he's sort of proving that his bona fides on that issue, the issue that he thinks got him the White House, the issue why he was willing to have this fight in the first place these recent days. In our reporting, he was telling people around him that he thought this would be a good cultural war kind of victory here, akin to the NFL players kneeling for the national anthem.
He thought this was going to be another wedge issue like kneeling for the national anthem at football games, locking up kids, taking children away from their parents. He is a sociopath. There is something seriously wrong with this man. Look, he just turned 72. I don't normally wish death on anyone. I wish a massive heart attack on this man. That he just have a giant aneurysm and keel over and go. Make it nice and quick and painless, but put us out of our misery. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Yes, this is Jason from Simi Valley.
Hey, Jason.
Now, first off, is your daughter all right?
My daughter is fine. So I mentioned in passing, Allison totaled my car on Monday. Luckily, she hit a concrete post going into an apartment complex, you know, like between the two lanes, the one lane for residents and one for guests. How she missed the bright yellow orange or bright yellow concrete post, I don't know, but she went smack dab into it and caused enough damage to my Prius to total it.
Well, can I give you the upside of it?
Sure.
One, she's not hurt. Number
not
two,
hurt.
Unlike my father, and I'm 57, and he was much older from Georgia, and he was born in the 20s. My brother did that, and unfortunately, my father at the time, back in the 50s, introduced a 2x4 to the side of his head. You didn't do that,
no.
So that makes you a better person.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different era, too. So.
Yes.
But my point is, your daughter's all right.
Yep.
As far as our orange Cittadini leader, he's doing hideous things. But I'm going to give you a different take on this.
Okay.
First off, this is all horrible. This is horrible. This offends a bunch of people, a majority of people, right down to their DNA. And what I'm going to tell you is, this is also going to come back and bite the Republicans in the ass.
I'll tell you why. Yeah.
All right. This is how you radicalize people. This is how you radicalize the parents. This is how you radicalize the kids. And this is going to energize the most important aspect of our electorate, women. There are more women who look at this with abject horror. And not that men don't, too, but I will tell you right now, these guys, all these white guys, and the vast majority of them are all white. I mean, Stephen Miller, the man voted most likely to want to serve Darth Vader. I mean, these guys just have no empathy. They are soulless, evil zombies, and they think this is going to win. They think it's going to energize their base, and we're going to win. Except there's only one problem with that. It also energizes our base with utter horror. And you sit here crying, which I must confess to you breaks my heart. And I don't want you crying. I'd rather you angry than crying. And I wanted to tell you that for the rest of us out here, we understand how you're feeling. Your daughter's good. That's important.
Yep.
This stuff's important too. But also, you perhaps should have a discussion with her perhaps about maybe a new set of eyeglasses if she wears them. Things like that. Because, missing the yellow thing there was like, but you have to put everything in a certain context. What they're doing is hideous. These people are all going to end up in the ninth circle of hell. But you, on the other hand, are a good person, and you're speaking the truth, and I want you to remember that right now, despite everything, you still have your daughter, you still have your husband, you still have your house for the time being.
For the time being.
And you have to remember that it could be a lot worse. You have to keep the good fight up, and I want to tell you, as someone who listens to you, who and Howie comes on, I must occasionally cringe, but that's another story. I'm telling you that that you're strong, and remember, I will tell you my philosophy in dealing with this vermin.
Okay.
If they can't take a joke, fuck them. And that's what we have to start thinking. These people deserve no mercy because they are doing hideous things. And I'm hoping, I haven't heard today, if they've tried to go to court to get consent decree changed. I hope they don't because it makes perfectly good sense. But we shall see what we shall see. But I want you to stay cool. Go home tonight. Do yourself a favor. Don't watch the news. Pull out Young Frankenstein or something like that and just kind of like disconnect a little bit and have a better week and a good weekend.
Yeah, well, I have a guest coming on tomorrow as the author of a book on, it's called Newsreel, A View Through the Lens. He's a guy who spent his career as a TV news videographer, a news cameraman. And honestly, I haven't had a chance to read the book. Because it's been...
By the way, you know who else you should ask to be on the show?
Who?
Hawking a book? See if you can ask Malcolm Nance.
Yeah, you know, I have no end to Malcolm Nance. I know a lot on our side do, but I'll see if I can't try.
Wait a minute, you know who would? Do you deal with Jackie Schechter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jackie knows Steffi.
Yeah.
Steffi knows Malcolm.
That's true. That's true.
So why don't you go to Jackie, see, and she may have an end to him, and ask him to come on the show.
That's a good idea. Now, I think I would like Malcolm Nance. He's a
great
smart
guest,
guy,
and he's very instructive.
Yep.
And I would urge you to pursue that. If I had the extra time to help produce your show to get guests, I would do so. But I can merely offer a suggestion and a possible contact.
Got that? All right.
Sorry. Well, now, are we going to cheer up a little bit?
Yes. Well, we got Howie coming.
All right.
Up,
so go.
Put on
talk
a brave
to Howie.
Face. Okay. Will
Bye-bye.
Do. Thank you, Jason. Bye. I need your calls of encouragement from every now and then, okay? All right. We'll take a very, very brief time out in which I'll ask for money because now especially I need a car. Your donations are more than welcome. And then back with Howie Klein in just a moment. Oh, it's a Thursday. We're still alive. I'll be right back.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener-supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
Ah, hold on. I lost my page. I lost my page. Where are you, Howie Klein? There we go.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary...
sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, hey, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
I hope you are as well. I know you had a rough week last week.
I did. Still having a rough week. Just times are... Sorry, I thought I was able to get it together during the break. I think this world is getting to me. I think Trump is getting to me.
Well, join the parade, everybody. I think the whole country is being getting those same feelings. I mean, it's amazing. People are so upset, and from what I hear from psychiatrists and psychologist friends, business is up.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I'm hoping, though, that through the sheer terror of it all, the horror that's being inflicted on us and the rest of the world, people are getting riled up. People are getting active. I know we do want to talk about what happened in the House today, but Tuesday is another primary day. We're right in the thick of primary season, and this is when we can make a difference. And I know one of the guys you like to rail most against Joe Crowley is up in a tough primary. Does his opponent actually have a shot at unseating him?
Well, she's running a very grassroots campaign. She doesn't have much money. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's really good, and it's she's everything that we talk about that would make a good change in Congress, and he's the worst of the worst. If she has a real chance, I'm not sure. Blue America, the PAC that I run,
is
spending money in that race. We have quite a bit going on there, and I hope it'll help her. She doesn't know we're doing that, of course. We're doing it on our own. And, you know, we're doing robocalls into, you know, public housing projects in the Bronx and Queens. We're doing, we have people who have been working on a website. We have Facebook ads. I mean, we're doing what we can to help. But, you know, we'll see what comes of it. And there are other people helping as well, of course. I'm not saying it's just Blue America. And, you know, she's running a great campaign, and she's making sure to mention to people that there are two different kinds of Democrats. And very, very few people do that in their campaigns. So I'm proud of her that she not only understands it. Obviously, she understands that she was a Bernie organizer,
right,
but that she's doing it. And she's letting people know that, you know, that people who, you know, Crowley takes more money from Wall Street than any other Democrat in Congress, in the House. Literally, that's what he does. He takes money from Wall Street. In fact, he was supposed to be up in the Bronx part of the district, which he never even goes to. He's not interested in the Bronx part of the district. He's the boss of Queens, and he feels there are more people in Queens, and he can get by just by representing the Queens part of the district, which he does badly. But he in fact hired a lobbyist to get the Bronx out of his district. Last time when they were doing redistricting, he just, you know, tried everything he could to get the Bronx out of the district. Too many people of color there, and he doesn't get many votes from that part of the district, and he tried to get rid of them. But last week there was a debate, and it was in the Bronx, and he didn't go. He
wow.
just, you know, sent you know, some stooge of his to go. And then it, and now it's, you know, it's too far from Queens, or even worse, it's too far from where he lives in Virginia. And then we find out he not the same day, but a couple of days later, he went to a lobbyist fundraiser for himself, $500 a ticket, I think. And there were a bunch of Republican lobbyists.
Yeah.
You know, I put a picture of the invitation up on my Twitter feed. But, I mean, this guy is really awful. And you asked the question, do I think he can win? Do I think that Alexandria can win? I don't know. I really don't know. You know, it would take a lot. My hope is if she doesn't win this time, if she doesn't win on Monday, that she's made a name for herself in the district, mm-hmm. and that she just keeps on running and in 2020 can get rid of him. It's very, very rare that you can get rid of an incumbent, especially a powerful incumbent like him, who's got all the money in the world, in one cycle. Maybe she can do it. I hope so. But if she doesn't do it in 2018, maybe she can do it in 2020.
Right. She's one of those rising stars.
You know, I look at the long term, and uh-huh. a lot of people don't like to do that, but I do. In any case, there are races in. Not just in New York, and she certainly isn't the only person that in New York who has a tough primary, but there are also important primaries in Colorado on Monday and in Oklahoma. So, you know, I'm watching how those go with bated breath. I mean, in Oklahoma, for example, in the 5th District, which is basically Oklahoma City and some of the suburbs of Oklahoma City, Steve Russell is a, you know, really, really, really bad Republican, just terrible Republican. And that was the district in Oklahoma that was the least excited about Trump. Trump won the district, but he didn't win it by much. I mean, Hillary did better in Oklahoma City than she did anywhere else in the state. And we've got a great candidate in that district, the 5th district now. And Steve Russell, I noticed today, I know we're going to talk about this in a little while, but, you know, you would never expect Steve Russell to vote against anything that the Republican leadership puts up in the House. And I was just shocked to see that he voted against the Republican anti-immigration bill. So there were two bills. Oh, we'll talk about that later. But he voted against it. And most of there were 41 Republicans who voted against it. And most of them are you know, more sort of mainstream Republicans. They're conservatives, but they're mainstream conservatives. And he's not. He's an extremist. Absolutely. The Steve Russell is, you know, off his gourd. And he did vote against it, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. But he is afraid that he's going to be facing a good Democrat. And the problem in Oklahoma City has been that they don't – and most of them are you know, more sort of mainstream Republicans. They're conservatives, but they're mainstream conservatives. And he's not. He's an extremist. Absolutely. The Steve Russell is, you know, off his gourd. And he did vote against it, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. But he is afraid that he's going to be facing a good Democrat. And the problem in Oklahoma City has been that they don't – and most of them are you know, more sort of mainstream Republicans. They're conservatives, but they're mainstream conservatives. And he's not. He's an extremist. He's an
right.
extremist.
Hey, Howie.
Steve Russell is,
I,
my own voice for
yes.
the last, for the last couple of minutes. I'm just hearing myself back.
I have some kind of very weird thing going on with my computer. That so, bear with me 1 second because I've got to fix this. I just got in a weird feedback loop that I need to close this out. Ay, ay, ay. It's
call me back.
I don't think I'm going to have to call you back. Hold on.
In my own voice. For
yes.
the last,
okay. All right. How are you there?
I am.
Okay. Good. We got rid of that, and hopefully we're good.
I can take right where we ended. I was trying to explain that in Oklahoma City, what they do is they nominate these Republican-like candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really give the voters much of a choice. You know, they just there's always these conservative Democrats that they're putting up to run against Republicans, and this year they have an opportunity to select Tom Guild, and Tom is not in any way a light Republican. He is the real thing. He's a Bernie supporter and stands for everything that people stand for who are really progressives, like Medicare for all, for example. But right down the line, he is about working families, and so very, very different from Steve Russell. Steve Russell appears to be frightened, and that's why he voted the way he did today against all the stuff he normally supports. So it's important for people on Monday who live in Oklahoma City. I hope you have lots of listeners in Oklahoma City. It's important for them to go out and vote for Steve Russell. And then there's a very, very important race in the suburbs of Denver, because Colorado has their primary as well.
Right.
And you've got like some really sort of crooked DCCC type candidate, and then you've got a real progressive running. And this is Colorado 6, by the way. And the real progressive is Levi Tillerman.
Right.
And again, he's, you know, a sort of a Bernie type candidate. The other Democrat is not. The other Democrat is someone who's trying to pass himself off. I mean, we've talked about this before. He's trying to pass himself off as an attorney who has stood up for working families. Well, that is not what he's been doing with his career. He's an attorney, so it's right there. But he's an attorney that has been representing payday lenders.
Wow.
And representing people who have preyed on working families. So quite the opposite of how he's trying to portray himself. But Tillerman is running a very, very good campaign. Because the DCCC has been on the side of the other guy, he's got loads and loads of money, and he's using that money to you know, lie. And so that's an important race as well. And I'm sure we can talk about these races next week. But
okay.
they're crucial because unless we get good candidates in the primaries, then in November we're stuck with bad candidates. And then it becomes a matter, especially in the midterm, it becomes a matter of the voters to say, why should I even bother to go to the polls? We have the choice is lesser of two evils. I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. I don't want to vote for an evil. So that happens, and that keeps some number of progressive voters away from the polls. Now, this year, there are all of the polls, the different kind of poll, but all of the polling is showing that Democrats are riled up and they are going to go to the polls, even if we have these crappy candidates, because they want to vote against Trump. So, you know, a large, large number of people are saying they don't care about any policies. They just care about one thing, and that is putting a muzzle on Trump. That's the only thing that they care about, and they're going to go and vote for Democrats, period. And a lot of them don't care what the Democrat supports. Unless all they care about is that the Democrat will vote against Trump.
Against
that's what
Trump,
they want.
Right.
That's all they want.
And at this point, that's a big that's something we need. That's a big a barrier that we need, because this guy is going to destroy the planet.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same feeling as you. I can't imagine voting for some of these horrible blue dogs that the DCCC is putting into place. But everyone will have to make up their own mind about that. And
yeah.
I think most Democrats will make up their mind to go ahead and do that anyway. It's kind of sad, but it's necessary, because Trump is on a rampage and, you know, he is up to no good. I mean, when he talks about this $25 billion for the wall,
mm-hmm.
he has every intention in the world of stealing a lot of that money and enriching his friends. I mean, you're building a wall. He knows how to take money. He's a contractor. He knows how to take money out of those budgets. And he has seen his buddy Vladimir Putin become the richest person on earth
yep.
by stealing everything in Russia. Everything is stolen, and Trump has every intention of doing the same thing. So when they talk about that $25 billion as part of any kind of deal, anyone who wants any kind of a deal, that $25 billion for the wall comes up.
Wow.
And that's what he wants. He has his eyes on that. And they'll use some of it to build some crappy wall, but Trump is going to steal everything he can out of that fund. That's what he wants to do now. That's his purpose for being in the White House.
That's
steal,
it.
Steal, steal. He's the worst kleptocrat we've ever had, and unbelievably horrible. And we need to elect people who are going to stand up to him and not let him get away with that.
Right. And it's not only the money he wants. The fact that he idolizes these strongman dictators is frightening. I mean, this was ostensibly a joke. Here it is.
He's the head of a country, and I mean, he is the strong head.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anyone think anything different.
Right.
He speaks and his people sit up at attention. I want my people to do the
right.
same.
You know, he tried to write that off as a joke. It's not funny. This is what he wants. He wants to be a dictator. And I'm trying to remember who it was who said it.
He was talking about Kim Jong-un.
Yes. No, but there was somebody, it might have been Stephen Colbert it was Bill Maher, who said, I don't think, you know, when his term is up, if he loses in 2020, should he run for reelection, that he'll give it up. You know, he'll talk about it being stolen from him. And, it's to that point. It's that we need people with backbones who are going to stand up to him. And unfortunately, I'm not seeing any of that from any Republicans. We saw a little smidgen of it, a little bit of a pushback from him when it came to do with these kids being taken away from their parents. And that's what these votes were about, or the vote was about today in the House. There were two bills. Only one of them eventually got voted on. The other one was postponed until Friday, is what they're saying. But this was a bill by Goodlatte. This was the hardliner bill, right?
Yeah, it was a very, very, very extreme bill. No path to citizenship for Dreamers, for example. And this was the extreme right-wing bill, and 41 Republicans voted against it. The thing that I thought was really funny is that so many Republicans were complaining that Trump didn't tell them exactly what he wants.
Wow.
I don't know how to vote on this thing. We don't know what Trump wants. And it's like horrifying to me that, you know, what do you want? What do your constituents want? They want to know what Trump wants. They're complaining because his cabinet members came and met with them and they said, well, Trump wants something. But they're complaining because they don't know what Trump wants, and they only want to vote for what Trump wants. I mean, these guys should be out of Congress. What the hell are these people? It's shameful that they would say this out loud.
Yes, well, that Paul Ryan, and thankfully he's on his way out, but he won't bring a bill to the floor unless he knows that Trump is going to sign it. That's not how this works. Somebody needs to buy them all the box set of Schoolhouse Rock so they can learn how a bill becomes a law and how government works, because it's gotten so broken over the years that they don't understand the basic tenets of civics.
That's right. Scary and horrible, and that's what the Republicans have turned into now. I mean, they're not a governing party anymore. They're not a natural governing party. They are a complaining party. That's what they're good at, is complaining.
No, you're absolutely right. That's what they do. And the gaslighting. For 8 years during the Obama administration, we watched this Republican Party obstruct on everything. As Obama was being sworn in, they had their own little meeting at some local pub where Mitch McConnell swore that he'd make Obama a one-term president, and they would block him on every single thing he did. They held up a Supreme Court seat for a year, for God's sake, and yet all Trump can do is label the Democrats as obstructionists who won't do anything.
Yep. And I mean, he's not talking to the country.
No.
He's talking to his own base. He feels that his base got him elected and that they can do it again. But, the problem there is that there were so many independent voters who figured anything is going to be better than the status quo. The status quo candidate was Hillary, and we're going to vote against the status quo, and we'll take a chance with this guy Trump. Well, they took their chance, and they're sorry. There were so many counties all over the country, even in his the state that elected Trump with the highest percentage, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many counties that where Bernie did, I mean, first of all, Bernie beat Hillary in every single county in West Virginia.
Right.
She didn't win one county in the primary over Bernie. He beat her in every county. In a few counties, it was close, but he won every county, and mostly he won by huge margins. But you know what? In a lot of those counties, really a lot of them, he had better votes. I mean, on the same day the Republicans voted, he beat Trump in county after county after county. He beat Trump. And then what happens? I mean, comes election day, and it's just Trump against Hillary, and Trump beat her in every county. She didn't win one county.
Right.
So here you're looking at Bernie being more popular than Hillary, and Bernie being more popular than Trump, not statewide, but in lots and lots of counties. So, you know, a good example of that is a state senator from, you know, West Virginia has three congressmen. There's a northern one, a central one, and a southern one. In the southern district, which is West Virginia 3, it's a third district, there's the guy who's running. He won the primary by a landslide, and he's running against a Republican. It's an open seat. And he voted for Bernie in the primary. And then remember, this is a Democrat. He voted for Bernie in the primary, and along comes the general election. He voted for Trump.
Wow.
Now he's sorry that he ever did. He's apologized to the people there and said he made a mistake. But he was very, very much like the folks in his district. The folks in that district voted for Bernie in the primary, and then lots and lots of them voted for Trump as well.
Wow.
They didn't want Hillary. And this guy was just like the people that he's running for now. Well, a poll just came out yesterday. He's beating the Republican. This is, I don't know the exact PVI, but it's something like R plus 25. It's definitely R plus 20 something.
Wow.
This is one of the most Republican districts in the whole country. And they are going to vote for a Democrat as of now. They are going to vote for a Democrat instead of a Republican. I mean, everyone in Washington in the political class is in shock. Their jaws are dropping that Richard Ojeda is ahead of some, you know, just regular Republican, just some, Republican hack. Amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So I have a lot of optimism about what's going to happen in November. I know everyone I know is having the same depression that you have. People are very, very upset. And anything that happens is magnified. People start, thinking about Trump. People can't sleep. all sorts of any kind of reason that you could have a bad day
yeah.
is magnified by Trump and,
yeah.
and his carryings on. But I just look at the sunny side of this kind of stuff, and I say to myself, he is going to lose. He is going to lose so many House seats and as well as Senate seats that just look at the sunny side. Look at the bright side. It's coming. And it's not that far away either.
All right, sing a Monty Python song. Do you think there's a chance that they could flip the Senate as well?
Yes, there's a chance.
Really?
I don't know that they'll do it. One of the problems is, you know, that the Democrats, Schumer, have picked such terrible candidates.
Yeah.
I mean, they're betting on Kyrsten Sinema, the single worst Democrat in the House. So, you know, who am I to say she's the worst? I'm not the one.
Uh-huh.
You look at her voting record. A Progressive Punch rates every single member of the House. She's the bottom. She
wow.
has the worst voting record of any Democrat. She doesn't have the second worst. She doesn't have the third worst. She has the worst. Now, on top of that, I happen to know her personally.
Mm.
We served on a board together. By the time I wasn't going to their meetings anymore, I was sitting as out of her sight line. I didn't want to be in her sight line because she was insane. This woman is insane, and I was afraid that she might pull out a gun and start shooting people.
Oh, wow.
That's how crazy she was. Yeah, that crazy. So she's the worst. And Schumer, by himself, Schumer picked her to be the Senate candidate for Arizona. So you've got people who have to pick between some crazy Republican or her. And what are they going to do? Again, the lesser of two evils. Hopefully, there'll be enough people who say we've got to, you know, have a big enough Senate majority to stop Trump.
Yeah.
The problem with her is she mostly votes with Trump.
Right. Right.
And they have a similar situation in Nevada where they picked the worst person they could. This woman named Jackie Rosen, absolutely terrible. And so, you know, I'm a little bit worried about that. I wish that Beto O'Rourke was coming up. He may be Ted Cruz. That's a really good candidate. And then there's a less terrible candidate in Tennessee, Phil Bredesen, who
right.
is the governor. And people say to me, well, he's pretty far to the right as well. And he is, but we have something to judge him by, which is his role as governor. He had been the governor for two terms. And he wasn't great. I mean, I wouldn't be the same kind of governor as him, but he was good enough.
Right, and the state is Tennessee,
I mean,
after all.
As good as you can get in a state like Tennessee.
That's right. That's right.
And he's winning.
Yeah. And
he's also polling well. And the Republicans have an extremist, Marsha Blackburn, running.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good case because, you know, there will be lots of independents. They're going to decide who wins that race, and they'll say, well, who's better? A moderate kind of Democrat or a far right extremist like her. She's got a terrible voting record, Marsha Blackburn, and she's going to be the Republican nominee.
Wow. Yeah. So yeah. I see what you're saying. I mean, there is a chance that something could happen. And with Trump keeping on doing the insane things he's doing, I mean.
He will.
He will. It's every day. It's something new. And just when you think, all right, we're stuck in the middle of this craziness with taking kids away from their families. Now we get something they want to totally reform the government.
They're going to combine the Labor Department and the education department. Is that what you're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, that's just one of many things. I mean, there's other stuff, too, that they're talking about doing that is just insane. And I think it's just to keep us looking in, you know, from one direction to another so that, you know, we don't know where to stop.
So we can steal that $25 billion.
And so they can steal the $25 billion. I think you're absolutely right. But hopefully enough people will start to see through it and we'll get past this. It's just making for some real rough days.
So, yeah, absolutely.
The most important thing right now is that everyone get out and vote. So this Tuesday, again, it's primary day in New York and Oklahoma and Colorado. You got to get out and vote. It is that important and more.
And as Alexandria Ocasio said, not all Democrats are the same.
That's
She's
right.
going around and saying that to the people there. I mean, you never get a Democratic candidate saying that, and she's saying it, and they're, you know, at least some of the people are understanding it. There are two different kinds of Democrats. There's this corrupt kind of like Joe Crowley,
yep.
and then there's this whole new look at things by a woman like, you know, when he Alexandria Ocasio. When she was born, he had already been in office for several years. Think of it like that.
Wow.
For him to go. Pastime.
Amazing. Howie Klein, we're out of time. As always, thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week.
Thanks. I hope we have something to celebrate next week.
I do, too. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. With that, we're done. Thanks for bearing with me today, everybody. I really appreciate it. I will do my best to hold my shit together for you tomorrow.